I know of nothing from everlasting to everlasting except God. How great are you, Lord? How great are you? I know of nothing and no one that can create life and the majesties and the splendor. I know of no one that can save to the uttermost. I know of no one who can forgive completely, save God Himself. So when I believe and we survey the cross and when we see God, indeed we have to, as men of old, fall down astonished. Daniel fell down and seemed like unable to speak for a time. We have to fall down on our face and say how great you are. So thank the Lord tonight. The Psalms of David and of other men, people, maybe some ladies wrote them, I don't know. The Psalms of the Bible contain riches and prophecies. They have poetry and they have exclamations that make me just stop and think. Men and people have been able to pen things in a way that they appeal to the ear and they appeal to the soul. Let's read in the 116th Psalm. And to me, it was one of those. And I want to maybe share that with us tonight. The 116th Psalm. The psalmist, it doesn't in this Bible anyway, give attribute it to any one person. But he begins and says this, I love the Lord. What a declaration. What a way to begin a day. What a way to begin a letter, a message. What a way to begin the rest of our life. What a way to greet our companion in the morning. What a way to greet our fellow servants in Christ. What a way to begin a meeting service and a camp meeting. What a way to go into work. What a way to meet life. I love the Lord. When we take that into all of its context and all of its possibilities and of its strengths, and we realize the governing power of love, when we understand the attributes and the manners and the graces of love, and we are testifying, and the writer testified, I love the Lord. That is to me saying, I've succumbed to Him. I have been found of Him, and He wooed me and called me and offered Himself in such a way that He captivated me. He forgave me, and now I love Him. To me, it's saying, because I love Him, look at me. I am, by His grace, going to behave myself. I am going to be an example of someone who loves the Lord. Not in our strength, of course. The psalmist said, I love the Lord. May we, each one of us, have it so settled in our hearts. I love the Lord. Then he goes on to say, because. One writer of a song some time ago said, so many reasons why I love the Lord. If we, each one of us, began to speak and pen and email one another why I love the Lord, it would be so many reasons. I think of what John wrote in, I believe, 1 John. It's not so much, though, that when we go back to the very beginning of our love affair with God, it's not so much that we deemed Him worthy of love, but John said, because He first loved us. We love Him, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Then he began a process whereby you and me might be able to love him. And he said here, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. How many times have we gone to God with our needs? How many times have we gone to our God with needs that we could not explain? How many times have we gone to the Lord and just said, help me? How many times have we gone to the Lord with our mistakes? Our less than magnanimous way? How many times have we gone to the Lord recognizing I'm needy in my spirit? I'm needy in my life. And he said, I love the Lord. Because when I've gone there, he was there. When I went to that place, he has inclined his ear unto me. He has turned not a deaf ear and not awarded me or rewarded me according to my what I may have deserved. But he has heard me and inclined his ear. And he's answered our cry. And I love the Lord. When I survey the way he's dealt with you and dealt with me, I love the Lord. When I recognize how I treated him and how he's treated me, I love the Lord. When I recognize the severity of life and how impossible it is for me to meet that challenge, and he comes along and says, cast on me all your cares, come unto me, all ye that labor, I love the Lord. When he's offered to bear my sin and my burden, when he's offered to be the one that winnows my path, I love the Lord. I need that, don't you? Sure we do. We need someone to part the waters of life. Sometimes it's the Red Sea and the Egyptians, and there we are in the middle. But you know, the Lord comes and the sea opens up or the Egyptians die behind us. One way or another, we keep right on going. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he's heard me. I love the Lord because he notices me. I love the Lord because he's not indifferent to me. Aren't you glad today God is not indifferent to you? We've all, and I won't say inadvertently, we have all inadvertently been neglected some way. Maybe you had something to say and you were in a conversation with someone and it seemed like maybe they weren't listening, and then all of a sudden someone else came in the room or someone else said something and their heads turned and you lost them. They're not paying attention. You know, that creates a little sensation, a little disappointment maybe. God has inclined his ear. God has listened. He's not behaved indifferent. He's not pouted when you and me mistreated him. I love the Lord tonight. What a statement. So from our heart to be able to say, I love the Lord, that gives me victory in and of itself. That makes me his child. To say I love the Lord is saying it's gone more than just saying I need him. It is I have an experience with him, intimacy with him. I've been washed in his blood. I love the Lord. He forgave my sins. He wrote my name in the book of life. I love the Lord. He's done something extremely personal and good for me. And now I want to live for him. Now I want to be his. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. For all my days I have found him trustworthy now. I tried the road of sin and found its prospects all deceived. But I proved the Lord joys abound more than I could ever believe. Yes, we've all tried that other way, have we not? We've tried our direction, but now we've found a better way. I love the Lord. And I want to serve him every day of my life, the writer's saying. As long as he leaves me here, I want to serve him. I want to follow him. I want to be found of him. I want him to be in my heart, and I want to live for him. This morning or tonight, let's have that conviction. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And if I love him, I want to serve him with all my heart. I enjoy it. It's a pleasure. It's something that's good. It's profitable. It has blessed you and me beyond expectations. We had no idea what would happen to be free of sin. We had no idea what it would be like to be a part of the kingdom of the mighty God, to be brought into the body in the church. We didn't know what we were missing. We just knew we had this terrible longing, and it was there. And God was waiting on us to ask Him, and He was willing to forgive us, and this great, wonderful, wealthy place was right there already created for us. Adam and Eve didn't have to create Eden. God did it for them. Adam and Eve didn't have to make everything comfortable. God did it for them. You know, God has created the kingdom of God. God is the kingdom of God. Christ is the head. Christ is the... May the Lord help us tonight to recognize this is what He's done for us. Brought us into the wealthiest kingdom that ever was and ever shall be. I love the Lord tonight. I just love Him. The writer, he just didn't know how else to start it, it seems like. He said, I want to get it clear tonight. I want to get it clear as I pen these words. I love the Lord. When I survey the wondrous cross and all the things that happened there, I love the Lord for that. He said, though sorrow and of death compassed me and the pains of hell gat me or found me and found and took hold of me, I found trouble and sorrow. Probably every one of us can relate to such a thing. Different depths, but each one of us can relate to, I needed help. Sorrow, trouble, the pains of hell, probably meaning the grave here, but the pains of my mortality gripped me. What am I going to do? I found trouble and sorrow. I love the Lord, He said to us. Then called I upon the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Deliver my body, deliver my life, deliver my heart, my mind, my spirit. I love the Lord. There I was in the depths of it. There I was captivated. It just reached out and got me. That unexpected terror, that unexpected sickness, that unexpected thing, that disappointment, it just was there and got me round about. I was in sorrow. I was in pain. I was sweating. And then I called upon the Lord. I beseech Thee, O Father, please help me. I love the Lord, He said. As you begin to survey and think about all God's done, maybe we all can say tonight, I love the Lord. He said He was gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. As I called on Him, as I reached out in my calamity and sorrow and pain and my discomfort, or even going back to where we were sinners, as I reached out to Him in my deepest of distress, I called on Him knowing He's gracious. Oh, the Lord is gracious. I called on Him and He was so gracious. He didn't come and slap me around and call me stupid. He didn't come and berate me or belittle me. He took me in His arms and said, what's the trouble? What's the trouble? So I confessed it with bitter tears and shame and maybe a little self in it. Then He began to shed His light. Then He began to give me understanding. And like Job of old, I said, uh-oh, I've gone too far. Lord, thank You for Your graciousness. Thank You for Your mercy. The writer said, I love the Lord. I called on Him in a deep time, and He proved Himself gracious and righteous, pure. He was my benefactor, my helper. Yea, our God is merciful. I know I've mentioned this before, but to me it is a great lesson for my soul. The law of God, no man could attain to it. The law of God, no man could fully keep it. The law of God was stern, and it was something set before the men, the people of Israel, that they could only aspire and try. And Because of the law, there was penalties for breaking the law. No man could do it. And the Ark of the Covenant was built. And it contained the tabernacle, the tablets of stone, whereon was written by God's finger the law. And God placed over that the mercy seat. And he said, that's where I'll meet with you. You don't have to get in this ark. You're not going to be able to do everything that these commandments teach. But will you love me? Will you endeavor to serve me? And I'm going to meet you there on that mercy seat. You know, we have grace today in the blood of Christ, and it speaketh greater things. And I know that, and I'm not trying to in any way make allowances for us to do as we will and just expect cavalierly to be forgiven. But do you know God still meets with us on the mercy seat? God still meets with us. He said, I know your frame. My frame has not changed between the Old Testament and the New Testament. My frame is still as but dust. God is gracious and righteous. He's full of mercy, full of goodness. I love the Lord. Sixth verse, the Lord preserveth the simple, the innocent, the harmless. The Lord preserveth those who trust. The Lord preserveth those who entrust themselves. The Lord preserveth those who humble themselves. The Lord preserveth those who can't help themselves. The Lord preserveth those who call on Him. The Lord preserves those who look to Him. I love the Lord tonight. This is what He will do for you, and this is what He'll do for me. When the storms of life and difficulties arise, God will preserve us. So the writer said, all these things happened to me. And I called on the merciful God, and He had mercy. He preserved me. I was brought low. And can't life kind of bring us rather low? And temptations. And He helped me. Tonight we have so many reasons to love the Lord. I hope your experiences are even better than mine. I hope your experiences of seeing God in everything is even greater than mine. And I want mine to be greater. God help us tonight to see His hand, His providence, His mercy. To see Him in the when we travel. To see God's mercy when dangers arise. You know, sometimes dangers come up and that flight and fright syndrome kicks in and there we go. One way or the other. Neither one of them produces the right answer. I am glad the Lord helps us and the Lord teaches us. Tonight, let's love the Lord. So the writer said this, return unto thy rest, O my soul. The Lord is worthy of our love. He said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. In spite of whatever comes your way, saints, in spite of the sorrow, in spite of the pain, in spite of the difficulty that may compass you about, rest in this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Doesn't matter. Oh, it might matter physically. It might matter in some dimensions. But it does not diminish. In fact, it can enhance the glory of the rest that God has prepared for us. Great peace have they that love the Lord. I love the Lord. I believe that's about it's right in this area somewhere. 130, 120 something Psalms. Great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace. And nothing shall hurt them or harm them. Great rest. Great peace. Trust in God because you love Him. Trust in God because He's lovable. He's proved Himself over and over and over again. Return now to your rest. Return to that place that maybe life's difficulties have juggled you a little bit. The writer said, return, talking to himself, I believe. Oh, my soul, relax. It's okay. You love the Lord. I love the Lord. It's okay. Your confidence is in your loving Lord and Him loving you. So, Lord, help us tonight to return. Sometimes we get a little scattered, don't we? Has your thinking ever been scattered? Am I the only one? Have you ever been tempted? Have you ever felt a little fearful? Have you ever felt very fearful? Have you ever been sick more than just a cold? Have you ever seen things you hoped for go up in failure? Have you ever seen someone you love leave through death? Maybe some other way. Life can be extremely, extremely harsh. I love the Lord. He didn't leave me down here to flounder around on my own. I love the Lord. Return to your rest. Don't get caught up and carried away. Yes, it's going to happen. It will. Things will. You know what the devil wants us to do? Just get so stirred up that we're carried away with some wind of doctrine or some fear or hurt. We just throw it in, cast our love away. I find that love is a very powerful influence. I love the Lord tonight, the writer said. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord tonight. Why can we love Him? Because He's been awful good to us. He's shown Himself lovable. He's done that which makes Himself lovable. He treated us. He courted us. He presented gifts to us. He laid down His life for us. He forgave us. It's just when we were resentful of Him, He came back and said, I love you anyway. I love the Lord tonight. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with every one of us. I don't believe tonight that any man alive can charge God. Remember Job's wife? One of the things that she wanted Job to do was curse him. Curse God. Job, you are one miserable creature. You need to curse God and die. Job said, how can I do that? That's foolish talking. I've received so much from God. Should He allow this to come to me? Can I curse God now? I love the Lord. He's been too good to me. He's dealt bountifully with me. Some evil has come, and I grant it's not easy, and I don't know about it, and it's causing me some troubles. But renounce God? Curse God? Throw away my integrity? Never. Can't do that. I love the Lord. I can't just... It means more to me than that. I can't just... Okay, I'm in trouble, but what am I going to do? You know, a house burns down. What am I going to do? Divorce my wife? That doesn't make sense, does it? You know, I lost my job, or I got disappointed. Well, I'm going to... It's my wife's fault. I'll get rid of her. I'll tell you what I'm going to do in those kind of times. I'm going to get just a little bit closer to her. And I'm going to say, give me a hug. I need help. Because I love you. And I know you love me. You know, it'd be kind of foolish to get sick and have a car wreck, bend the fender up, have to go back in debt and say, well, I don't need you anymore. I want to get rid of my wife or my husband, whatever. To me, when we face the calamities of life, never blame God, never change God, charge God. Hold on to your integrity with Him, because He's the one it is and going to will help you and keep us. He said, just return to your rest now. And where is your rest? It's in that love affair. It's in that relationship. It's in God and us, and us in God. It's God, God, all the way working with us. Just return. Go back. Stay right where you are with God. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. It was David who said, my feet had well nigh slipped. David got in trouble. David got in hard places. And David had feelings and emotions, and he said, my feet had well nigh slipped. The writer here said, you've delivered my feet from falling. I don't know how close you've come to falling. I don't need to know. But I know Satan's tried to get you to fall. But God's kept us. God preserveth. He preserveth the soul. Oh, I can't quite get that. But he preserveth the soul of those who trust or something, all those that obey. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Have you ever gone before the Lord boo-hooing? I don't know if men boo-hoo or not, but men cry for sure. Aren't you glad for that Kleenex God just takes with him everywhere he goes? You know, some ladies especially, they always got a Kleenex. We go down the road and I say, honey, I need a Kleenex. There's a Kleenex. I could go right over there right now. Of course, we got some sitting by us, but I tell you what, I could say, honey, give me a Kleenex, and she'd give me a Kleenex. I don't know where ladies get them all the time, but they got Kleenex. Just part of being a lady, I guess. God's got the Kleenex, folks. Dries our tears. He bore our tears. I love the Lord tonight. I love the Lord tonight. That's what the writer said. I love the Lord. Settle it. It's over with. Don't have to ask me again. But yeah, ask me again. I want to tell you again. I love the Lord. Now I'm facing the world and I'm facing difficulties. And I want you to know, he's saying, I'm facing all of this, but I want you to know something. I love the Lord. And it's going to be that which guides me and directs me and governs me. And I'll not sin by his grace because I love him. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know what this had in mind here, but I think of the word integrity. Job kept his integrity. Let us love the Lord and keep our integrity as we walk with the Lord. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, ah, he's human. But don't we too sometimes say in our haste? He in this case said all men are liars. In his haste, he spoke hastily. Sometimes life gets us, and we hastily think, say, do. And the seventh verse said, return to your rest. Take care of that hasty thought, that hasty moment. Do whatever has to be done to rectify that. Return back to your rest. Don't forget you love the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? Ah, the question now. What shall I do, and what shall I render, and what shall I give? Well, I'm not going to finish reading this right now. I'm going to propose an answer. How about ourselves? How about everything we are? How about all we hope to be? God has done exactly that. He gave us everything. He absolutely, as far as I understand, did not hold anything back. What am I going to render to the Lord now? His love for me required of him and caused him to give us absolutely everything. Now, what am I going to render to the Lord? I'm going to answer that before I read on. I'm saying let's render to the Lord our heart, our soul, our mind, our body, our strength, all that we have. Our bodies are living sacrifice. I love the Lord. And I believe I can trust him. And I'm going to give him my finances. I'm going to give him my lands. I'm going to give him my body. I'm going to give him my mind, my home, my future, my job. I know I can trust him because I love God. And I know he loves me. He said, this is what I'll do. I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Probably this had some significance that we may not altogether be familiar with in Jewish history. I remember when the Lord passed around the cup, he said, here's the cup, New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you, the remission of sin. And he said to them in one place, drink ye all of it. Who will suffer with the Savior? Who will take the little that remains? Who will bear the reproach? Who will live holy? Who will be the off-scouring? Who will be the gazing stock? Who will be the old-fashioned one? Who will be the man, the woman that holds their integrity when the world is sinking around us? And I want to tell you something. As the world sinks around us, those who stand are going to look taller and more conspicuous. You think about it. We're standing on a foundation that's sure, steadfast, unmovable. It will never go down. And we stand on that. And if this room or whatever started sinking around me, this place that I'm standing right here would stay, it would appear I'm growing taller, but no, it's just that the world is going down. But I'd be seen more, and I'd be more conspicuous. I love the Lord. God help us to be willing for Him to be a gazing stock, to be misunderstood. I will take the cup of salvation, every bit of it. I'll take His Word, I'll take His Spirit, I'll take Him. I'll do that which I understand He wants me to do. I will take the plan and I will not take it in part. I'll take it all. I'll take every bit of it. I will accept it gladly. That I don't understand, I will say yes, Lord, to that. I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll drink it all and call upon the name of the Lord as I do it. And to You, Lord, I take this cup. To You, Lord, I give my life. I call upon You, accept this meager, lowly sacrifice of this creature that I am. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. My hands, my intellect, I'll call on You, Lord, and I'll drink this cup. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. I don't know what everyone said when we got saved, sanctified, but some promises were made. And we agreed and covenanted with God, I'll live for You. I want to live for You. I want to serve You. As we go forth, saints, let's pay our vows. Let's pay the vow of, I love You, Lord. I want to serve You. Thank You for saving my soul. If You'll save me, Lord, I'll serve You. Well, I'll save you. And He saved us. I love You, Lord. I'm going to pay that vow. I'm going to serve You, Lord. I'm going to do what You've asked me to do. Because I love You. Because I love You. Because I enjoy it. Because if it makes You smile, I feel good. Ladies, men too. When your significant other, your spouse, or someone that's courting you, gives you something, please smile, because the giver really, that's their reward when you smile. You may not ever use it, but smile. Don't say, oh, what is this? No, smile and say, thank you. You may not have to say just what I wanted, or I'll use this every day of my life. But I want to tell you something. When someone who loves you gives you something, smile. Did you know God smiles? I've never seen it in my eyes, but I believe God smiles when He sees us pay our vows and return to Him and say, Lord, I love You. O Lord, the 15th verse, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. But the carver used to teach us that that word precious did not mean that God necessarily rejoiced to see the death of His saints. This is what Brother Carver would say. But he translated that word, and you can look it up, I think, in the Hebrews, and it will say costly. Costly. I don't believe God takes our death and our suffering lightly. I believe the Lord recognizes the price that's involved in serving Him. And Jesus gave us a parable about counting that cost. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant. Seemed like He wanted to get it down. I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and Thy son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Thank the Lord. He set us free tonight. Now we love Him. I will offer to Thee sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And He repeats Himself there. But tonight, God has loosed our bonds. I was a captive, but mercy released me. I was in prison, was set free. I love the Lord. I love the Lord tonight. He came when I needed Him most and saved my soul. He loosed the bonds that shackled me. So the writer long ago gave us a message, and it began, I love the Lord. I hope each one of us tonight can say from our heart, I love the Lord. You know, it's a gift to be able to say that. As we said earlier on, the reason we can say that is because He first loved us. But now we can say it. We can say, I'm born again. I'm a new creature. That my love affair with the world has died and is dead. That I am indeed crucified to that old life because I've fallen in love with another. I have fallen in love with Christ and with God. Now my heart's desire is to serve the lover of my soul. The Lord has been good to me, personally, and the Lord has been good to each one of us. So tonight, let's have this declaration. We don't go around wearing placards, or have you say that word, name tags necessarily. Sometimes somebody might put a bumper sticker on. I thought about the little thought of, I love the Lord. I wouldn't say don't wear a little piece of paper written, I love the Lord. That wouldn't necessarily be wrong. But more than that, may the conversation of our life say, I love the Lord. You pray for me.